God bless everybody, and thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. It's always a privilege to get to really not only share God's Word, but spend the time that it takes to prepare, and it's so much fun when you get to look at something maybe you didn't know before. So what I want to share today, or about today, is about forbearing one another in love. And so I want us to go to Ephesians 4, and we're going to read the first three verses there. I, therefore, a prisoner in our Lord, and I'm reading from the Aramaic translation. I, therefore, a prisoner in our Lord, beg you that you should walk as is proper for the calling that you were called. We were called to this amazing calling, and God says that he wants us to walk worthy of it. And then he gives four different ways to do this, with all humbleness of mind and quietness and long-suffering, and hold up one another in love, and be diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the girdle of peace. That's what the Aramaic says, the girdle of peace. And so what I really want to focus on is this idea of holding up one another in love, because it's a key thing to do in order to be diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit. I mean, this time of year, with Christmas and all this stuff, it just seems like every year it's turned to be more and more commercial and less about Jesus. But when you really think about it, even the whole thing that the shepherd said, that peace on earth and goodwill to men, that only happened when Jesus went through his whole life and actually was resurrected. Mm-hmm. Then God made peace available to everyone who would believe. It didn't really come when he was born. So I was thinking about that, and that there's this year that's been the one thing that has been really lacking. Everywhere we look, there's not peace. There's strife. There's jealousy. There's this, there's that, whatever it is. Anyway, so the key of forbearing one another in love is the way to be able to walk in the greatness of the mystery of the church. That's what brings peace. The gospel of peace. So there's four things that I think forbearing relates to. The first one is regarding relationships with people. And you could say it was holding on to. Like somebody puts their arm around you and holds on to you, like helps you walk down the street, or kind of like a walker, you know. That idea of forbearing is to sustain, help, assist, support, kind of the idea of supplying with nourishment. And I thought about an example would be like when you undergird a ship with ropes or a buoy to lift something up. It's a different way, I think, than we normally think about forbearing. And so this one is holding on to. Another definition you could actually throw in there is cheer up or carry, buoy up, see somebody through. So when we're talking about relationships with people, this is one of the definitions, is to hold on to. The second aspect of that is a holding up. And that would mean like where you, like your hands are under something and you lift it up. So look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. It says that love endures everything, or it bears all things. It bears all things. In other words, it holds something up. And goes on and says, believes everything, hopes all, and bears all. So I was looking at the word picture in Aramaic for this word forbear. And it actually has a simple root that means to hope. And then there's a variation in the tense where there's a little U, that's the little tiny I, gets put in the middle of this word to hope. So what it does is it adds the idea of giving power to hope. Like when we really hold somebody up, what we're doing is offering hope to them. But we're doing it in such a way that it would allow them to persevere, allow them to continue. There's that great verse in Romans 8. You don't have to look at it, but if we hope for something that's not seen, we continue with endurance. We continue holding up. It's not like a 5-minute job. It's a lifetime thing of holding up other people. And I think about how we give hope to someone, you know, especially in really stressful situations like where a loved one dies or there's serious health issues, what hope does is it provides an anchor for the person. And so then I just wanted to read Hebrews 6 because I just love this section here. Hebrews 6 and start in verse 17. Because of this, God especially wanted to show to the heirs of the promise that his promise would not change. We heard that in the manifestation. So he bound it with oaths that by two things that are unchangeable in which God is not able to lie, we who have sought refuge in him may have great comfort and may hold fast to the hope that was promised to us. Well, what's the two things? His word and his character. Everything God is, he stands behind when he says something. So this hope that was promised to us, verse 19, which we have as an anchor that holds our soul so that it is not shaken. The hope is like an anchor that holds up our soul so that it's not shaken. And it enters within the veil where Jesus previously entered for us and became a priest forever in the likeness of Melchizedek. When the veil was torn, it made access to the presence of God straight, clear, open, and we can walk in. But I just love that idea that hope, when you add the word power to it, then what it can do is actually allow someone to hold and bear up under, holding up under. So that's the second one. The third one is holding back, and that's really shown by the character of God. I'm going to read the ESV of Romans 3, verse 25. What it really is not, what holding back is it's not impatience or ill temper or hastiness or even stoicism, like where you just grin and bear it. Verse 25 says, whom God put forward, talking about Jesus, as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, there's the word forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You could say that he gave us room. He provided the answer in Christ for everybody's sins, no matter what they were, and continues to provide that. There is a similar passage in Colossians to the one from Ephesians 4. And that's in Colossians 3, verse 13. It says, be forbearing to one another and forgiving to one another. And if someone has a complaint against his associate, as Christ forgave you, so also you forgive. When we see the character of God, that he holds back from, he holds back the consequences that we deserve to have for our sins, and he pours out his love to us instead. So that's what we can do for each other. It's forbearing one another in love, right? You can't be forbearing if it's not in love. You can grin and bear it. You can try to, you know, shut your mouth. I'm not saying anything. And just suffer through something. But that's not how God does it. He actually reaches in and loves even deeper and draws us to him so that we can have fellowship with him. So the last one is holding on. And this is really primarily regarding situations or, you know, distress that sometimes we can't even control. And then 1 Peter 2, verse 19, it's talking about servants be subject to your masters. And then verse 19 says, for they will have grace before God, who because of a good conscience endure, there's the word forbear, sorrows that come on them wrongfully. But what praise will they have who endure pressures because of their transgressions? But when you do what is good and they pressure you and you endure, then your praise is great with God. It was reminded of like Paul's sufferings of all the things he went through, you know, a day and night in the deep and being beaten and all these different things. I mean, none of us, have, as far as I know, have ever been beaten with whips like that. But that doesn't mean that we don't have distresses. There's all kinds of pressures and distresses in our lives that we have to hold on. We have to hold on. You could translate it, bear on your shoulders. If something is something that you can't control, then you have to hold on to it and then really pray for God's grace to get poured out and to help us to understand how to respond in love. And that reminded me of the armor, because we have to stand firm with the sandals of the gospel of peace. Everybody has a place in the body of Christ. And with Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, then it's his job to figure out how it's all supposed to mesh together. What you're to do, what you're to do, what I'm to do. Every single person has a function, but it's Jesus Christ who tempers the body together so that it functions the way he wants it to and accomplishes the gospel in reaching out to all over the world, every single believer. So when we have those sandals on, then we can do all these things. We can hold on to and sustain others. We can hold up somebody with hope. We can hold back as God does with us. And we can hold on and really endure through the sufferings of this world, because they're nothing compared to the glory that's going to come. I want to end with Ephesians 4:15. But we should be steadfast in our love, so so that in everything we ourselves may grow up in Christ, who is the head. So that's forbearing one another in love. God bless you.